also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive. Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
What are you doing every day to support your liver? If you enjoy sweets, fast food, alcohol, or take any medications, that's a vital question to ask. Hi, I'm Sherry Torkus, pharmacist and health author. Supporting your liver isn't just a wellness trend, it's a daily essential. That's why I recommend Active Liver by New Nordic.
Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
Hey, want to hear something great? Right now at Wendy's, you can get two of the number one selling bacon cheeseburger in all fast food, the JBC, plus medium fries and a medium soft drink for just $8. Want to hear something else great? Double the burger means double the bacon. Now that's a game changer. Two of the number one bacon cheeseburgers with fries and a drink for just $8. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Request $8 JBC meal deal to obtain discount. Individual items at regular price.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. President Trump is ramping up his immigration crackdown, saying the city of Chicago needs an influx of federal troops to root out undocumented immigrants. ABC News senior White House correspondent Selena Wang says Chicago isn't the only city seeing an increased federal presence.
DHS says ICE raids have now launched in Boston, just days after authorities detained more than 300 South Korean nationals during a raid at a Hyundai plant in Georgia. That operation rattling America's close ally, which had promised to invest $350 billion in the U.S.
ICE was doing right because they were here illegally.
Trump looking to reassure South Korea, now proposing the country and foreign companies doing business in the U.S. help train Americans for jobs.
And a federal appeals court has upheld the more than $80 million judgment imposed on President Trump for defaming E. Jean Carroll. This is ABC News. President Trump's removal of Rebecca Slaughter, a Democratic member of the Federal Trade Commission, is now under review by the Supreme Court. Chief Justice John Roberts is issuing a temporary pause now on the lower court's rulings that ordered Slaughter be allowed back on the job. Speaking with ABC News, Slaughter said for the first few days she was allowed back in the office, she felt like she returned to a completely different agency.
Many, many staff have left, and not just due to natural attrition. I think there's been a widespread attack on public servants, and the FTC has not been exempt from that, and that takes a real toll.
Slaughter contends her firing is illegal, while Trump argues he has the same executive authority to fire federal workers. And authorities in Texas are releasing new security cam video of the suspect they believe opened fire Saturday night in a sports bar outside Houston. One person was killed. That suspect remains on the run. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesinor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Street takeovers are a growing annoyance in cities across the country. That includes Milwaukee, where District Attorney Kent Lovern said Friday residents are fed up.
No one in any neighborhood in our community should put up with the type of activity that we're talking about here today. No one should have to see it. No one should have to listen to it. no one should have to worry about it.
Levin pledged to zealously prosecute cases where the evidence supports criminal charges. Police Chief Jeffrey Norman.
We will not tolerate this.
Mayor Cavalier Johnson says the takeovers in which drivers perform risky stunts while crowds of spectators post to social media carry a risk that someone will be injured or killed. The former head of the Smithsonian Portrait Gallery will be the new director of the Milwaukee Art Museum. Kim Sayet tells WISN-TV's Up Front she's excited to be in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee is a fantastic city. Parks everywhere, beer garden around at the corner every 5 minutes, it feels like.
Sayet resigned from the Smithsonian earlier this year after President Donald Trump said she was too divisive and engaging in diversity. The Trump administration's in the process of removing displays and exhibits from the Institute that reference slavery, racism, or LGBTQ culture in America. A bipartisan bill introduced at the state capitol hopes to save research dogs from euthanasia.
The Wisconsin Beagle Freedom Bill would mandate a 3-week adoption period for dogs and cats in testing facilities. The bill would prevent default euthanasia by offering the animals to shelters or rescues. Wisconsin is home to Ridgeland Farms, one of the two large breeders of dogs for experimentation in the country. A judge found probable cause of animal cruelty at the facility in January, leading to a special prosecutor's appointment. Ridgeland faces multiple investigations and compliance processes. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny and comfortable today, with high temperatures scraping the low 70s and winds a bit feisty. By tonight, chances for showers and maybe some rumbles of thunder. Those will continue through the overnight and even throughout tomorrow, too. And only light rain amounts are expected. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Always great to have you join us for the conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk markets in just a moment to get the week started with Darren Newsom from Bar Chart. In segment two, we'll look at the weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. Some very cold temps in the upper Midwest over the weekend and some frost concerns. We'll get some update on that and more with John in just a little bit. After the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about the latest meat demand monitor numbers. Glenn Tonsor with Kansas State University going to join us for our monthly conversation about what is happening and trending in the MDM. And then at the end of the show, it is fly-in week for National Farmers Union members in Washington, D.C. We're going to talk with the president of the South Dakota Farmers Union. Doug Somke is going to join us as well, coming up later on in the show. Let's get things started and talk markets. Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart, is with us. Darren, hope you had a nice weekend. And you know, I mentioned the talk of some of that frost in the upper Midwest here over the weekend. And I'm hearing some chatter. Some folks are curious if that's done any late season damage to crops. And could that make its way into the market psyche at all here this week? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Markets look fairly quiet to start the week, Darren.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, it's always interesting. We get to this point in the year, and I guess I should say all throughout the year. So many in the industry will, and you have talked about this before, so many in this industry will make up reasons to be bullish and, you know, completely ignore what the market's telling us. Because, I mean, after all, what's the market know? And I did watch where, you know, it was supposed to be chilly and there was the potential for frost. And so what does it mean here? First thing Monday morning, these corn's down, couple cents, been as much as 3 cents lower. Nove beans down about 3 cents right now, also near its early session low. So, you know, what the market's basically telling us is it doesn't care. Number one, it still knows there's going to be plenty of crop come available here over the next 30, 45 days as harvest gets rolling, you know. So I think more emphasis is going to be put on what John says later. What's the longer term, you know, what's the longer term forecast? I visit with folks here in from central Nebraska, and, you know, they're saying their crop needs some heat and some sunshine to finish off. That's the bigger issue. Not necessarily frost. I haven't talked to anyone in the upper Midwest, but, you know, they need some sunshine, need some heat, finish off both the corn and soybean crops this fall.
When you look at the latest commitment of traders report that came out on Friday, what are you seeing from the fund action across the main grain commodities, corn, beans, and wheat?
Well, the number one thing that last Friday's numbers showed me is that old dogs like myself can still be tricked, I'm not going to say taught something new, because heaven knows I didn't learn anything, but I did see something that I wasn't expecting, and that was the increase in the net long position in soybeans. This after the futures market closed sharply, I mean, pretty solidly lower from Tuesday to Tuesday. You know, I was thinking going into last Friday's numbers that last Friday's update that we would see non-commercials possibly erasing what was left of their net long, possibly moving to a net short. Just didn't happen. So what this does is it increases the risk to the soybean futures market, in that, you know, at some point, if you know, given what we're seeing on the commercial side with the national soybean index and future spreads and so on, what we're seeing there is that it should probably lead to some long liquidation. And if there's no buying in the market, then it could start to put pressure on futures and push it lower here over time.
Looking at the outside markets, I'm curious, anything you have been seeing there, whether it be in the energies, the stocks, anything of note now that we've gotten into the month of September here, Darren?
Yeah, a couple key things to talk about, and I wrote about them for my latest for Bar Chart. Number one is we can look at both gold and stock markets in general, and it comes down to one simple rule. My first market rule, which is don't get crossways with the trend. Nothing else really matters right now. The trend for both stocks and gold is up, and it's an interesting combination, because here in another week or so, the focus is going to turn to the next Federal Open Market Committee meeting. What's the committee going to announce? What's it going to do, and what will Chairman Powell announce here next week? You know, the bets right now are coming in that there's going to be a 25 basis point cut, and it's possible, but does the market believe it? Is that what the market actually telling us? Is that what would actually help the market? So I think there's going to be a lot of focus not only on what's going on, but if we just sit back, if we take a step back and ignore all the noise and block it out, you know, we see gold moving up, hitting new all-time highs almost every day. It's stronger again here this morning. Same situation in the S&P 500, Dow, and so on. So just a lot of investment money continuing to come into stocks, and a lot of nervous global traders building their safe haven positions, central banks and so on, in the gold market. And those are two constants, two market sectors that are consistent at this point.
Talking with Darren Newsom from Bar Chart. How about some thoughts over in that livestock sector, Darren? I noticed that cattle have started to get a little more volatile here, maybe bumping up against some futures resistance. What are you seeing there this week?
Again, if we just take it back to its fundamentals, if we look at the cash index and we look at future spreads, we see that these markets, both live and feeders, should stay well supported. Now, to me, they do have this feel of being a bit top heavy, but, you know, as we know, a market that can't go down won't go down. So even if we see, and even when we see these markets suddenly drop $5 to $10, there is buying underneath these, and it's coming from the commercial side. So until we see some sort of break, until we see some sort of tipping point, say on the cash market in particular, both markets, these markets are just going to be hard to bring down and stay down. It just doesn't really want to do it at this point. Again, it continues to find buying. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this week plays out. If we continue to see the cash market stay strong, both cash and both the live and feeders, and what happens, you know, over the longer haul, you know, if we start to see some of these markets break.
Final thoughts, Darren, final minute. Anything else you're watching? You know, I know a lot of producers listening in, they're concerned about price action and farmer liquidity is and things of that nature. What would you leave folks with this week, Darren?
I think what we leave them with is, you know, seasonally, this is a time of year when we start to see markets begin to rally, because the worst case scenario has, or I should say the most bearish case scenario has been built in. And we can certainly watch the corn market for that. It has this feel like it's already established its low, which makes no sense whatsoever, given harvest hasn't hardly even started. But I do think we can watch out for that. Not that it's going to just skyrocket and go up, but we may be able to start building strategies with the idea that the market's not going to move much lower from here.
Folks can go to DarrenNewsom.com for more. With that, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart, Darren Newsom. Always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us on the show this week.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
Coming up next, we're going to take a look at what is happening with the weather forecast. We mentioned it a little bit at the beginning, some frost in the upper Midwest. Could we see some warm temperatures to possibly finish off the crop in the central Midwestern plains? John Baranek with DTN joins us next, right here on AOA.
Hi there, it's Scott from Pentatonix. So from the beginning of our journey in music, the foundation has been music education. It's so incredibly important that we continue to show kids the importance of music in our schools, in our homes, and even in the car. Music is such a powerful expression of emotion and individuality, and we are responsible for keeping the love for music alive. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission, license number DC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
things looking on the weather front as we are getting so close to really ramping up harvest across much of the Midwest. Next couple of weeks, we're going to start to see more fields turning and finishing and combines rolling out of the shed here in a lot of areas. Let's talk about what that weather outlook is shaping up to look like here over the next several weeks. Joining us now, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, hope you had a nice weekend. I know we were talking during the break. My Iowa Hawkeyes fell to the Iowa State Cyclones, so congrats to ISU fans. But hey, the NFL's back too, so I was happy. A lot of football this weekend, John.
Oh, gotta love the football. And the weather was perfect for it too. I mean, very crisp outside, definitely felt like fall. Unfortunately, that did mean some very cold temperatures, honestly, from really the Dakotas through Michigan. And even parts of Iowa and northern Illinois fell below 40 degrees here, especially on Sunday. And, you know, I saw a lot of temperatures out there in the 32 to 35 range out there. So we'll have to see if we did have some frost damage in some of these areas. I mean, you know, obviously the north is usually farther behind developmentally just because we can't get out and plant as early as farther south. And so we might have had some issues out there with that. So we're going to have to, you know, kind of assess that over the next couple of days to see, you know, just how widespread could that have been. And even if we did get frost, doesn't mean there was significant damage. But, you know, I'm going to have to assess that because the threat was there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I'm going to have to do some outreach to a few agronomist friends throughout the upper Midwest and the northern plains here later this week and see what they're hearing and see it in the fields there if we had any damage from that frost. And, you know, those colder temperatures, to your point, really made it feel like fall, and I feel like late fall in some cases, but wondering, are we going to warm up a little bit? You know, Darren and I were talking, some producers in the central Midwest would like to see a little more heat to help finish off this crop before harvest time. So, I mean, how are things looking this week and, you know, through the rest of the month? Are we going to have colder temperatures again? What are you seeing right now, John?
Well, I think the cold we saw over the weekend and into this morning is pretty much gone. We'll see some definitely rising temperatures here this week. And, you know, we may end up in the 90s in parts of Iowa, Missouri, Kansas here later this week. So just depending on cloud cover and some showers that might be coming through as well. But, we're definitely going to get warmer here this week. And that's really just an upper level ridge moving through Canada. So it's really going to, you know, all that cold air came straight from the Arctic. This ridge is going to block that and keep it all the way up in northern Canada and near the Arctic. As long as that ridge kind of holds on, we'll stay in warmer temperatures here for the rest of September. So I think we got some good plans of getting some more heat in here. And, you know, for a lot of folks, either if you're across the south, that'd be great to dry things out so you can go out and harvest. And then across the north, we've got largely the soil moisture we need, unless you're in Michigan. So overall, I think getting a little bit of heat in there would be great to finish out things too. So overall, this looks like a pretty good setup, honestly, for at least temperatures that will have those rising throughout the week and kind of sticking around as long as we can keep that ridge up there. And it looks like it will for the vast majority of September. Might get a break in there every so often. You know, things always happen. It's not going to be stable for 3 weeks. It just doesn't happen this time of year. But, you know, overall, I think we'll continue to have some warmer temperatures to close out September.
You know, and it's a bit of a catch-22. I know we touched on this last week, of course, the lower water levels on the Mississippi River and, you know, the eastern Midwest is, you know, a big factor there. The Ohio is down, the Ohio River and things of that nature. And so, you know, you partially want to see maybe a little rainfall here to help bring up the river levels. But then again, you don't necessarily want to see a lot of rainfall as we enter harvest time. And I'll throw in there as well, I know the tropics have gotten a bit quiet again, so it doesn't seem like the threat of getting a big system, a hurricane or a tropical storm that works its way into the eastern Midwest, Mid-South, et cetera, doesn't seem to be out there for the next several weeks ahead as well. It just seems like it's going to be relatively dry here, John.
Well, we'll see how the tropics turn out. You know, we were looking at something possibly coming this week. That didn't shape out very well. We've got some better chances maybe now at the end of September and going into October. That would be the next window, so that's kind of late. But, you know, we will have some chances for getting precipitation to move across the country here this week, at least, you know, the western half of it. So kind of along the Mississippi River and west, not exactly, but in general, that's kind of where we're looking at. And, you know, with this ridge being up over Canada, that's where the strongest part of it is. So it's kind of weak over the U.S., which means we'll have, you know, kind of systems, troughs, disturbances, whatever you want to call them. We'll be moving through here this week and next week as well. So we will have some potential there for getting some showers to move through. A lot of that, again, is going to be focused west of the Mississippi River here this week. So, I mean, we're looking at the radar right now, and Kansas has got some good batches of thunderstorms going on right now. Maybe good, maybe bad, depending on the situation where the crop development is at this point. But we'll get some showers here this week for that. You know, stays dry, unfortunately, for those in the east, but, you know, it's getting to be kind of late anyway. For any precipitation to be really helpful. But we will get some showers, it looks like, this weekend into those areas. And, you know, just depending on how these troughs and disturbances move across the country, they're kind of small. And since they're kind of fighting underneath that ridge across Canada, models, I don't think, have a really good idea of kind of the areas or how widespread or heavy any of this precipitation will be after this week. So I guess we'll just have to see. But we will have some opportunity there for getting some rainfall east of the Mississippi, and that, you know, might help. I don't know. It's hard to say, honestly. It's just been so dry for so long across the Ohio and lower Mississippi Valley. But if we get some rain in there, we can stop it from getting worse along the Mississippi and you know, doing some transport up and down the river. So, you know, any precipitation would be helpful. But is it going to be enough to really move the needle? Tough to say. And we'll just kind of have to wait and see what next week looks like.
DTN meteorologist John Baranek is with us here today. John, how about down in South America as we continue to watch them get ready for their spring planting season in Brazil and Argentina? Any updates there?
Yeah, I mean, Argentina was kind of a lot like the northern corn belt here over the weekend. They had some frost there too. That, you know, it's their spring. As we're going into fall, it's going into their spring, and that's hurting some of their wheat up there. Not a huge deal, but for Argentinian farmers, I mean, they have such a wide and open planting window that, you know, they can plant now if they wanted to. But considering the cold, they may delay some of that off a little bit. So we'll see if that has any real impact for them. Probably won't. And you know, they've had a whole lot of rainfall over the last few weeks that they're probably sitting pretty good right now anyway. Same goes with southern Brazil. They didn't have the frosts that farther south did. But you know, they've had the rainfall and it's really priming soils there for the southern end of the country. So they can get started on planting if they haven't already. You know, September's kind of the month to start ramping that up, and they really, really increase that in October. But September they can get started, and they've got plenty of moisture down there to do it. Central Brazil always has to wait for their wet season rains to start. And that's usually not until the end of September, and we don't have to worry about it for another couple of weeks. However, models, at least the European model, starts bringing in some precipitation next week to central Brazil. And anything that happens before the end of the month is good news for folks there. Our American GFS model is not really gung-ho with those showers at all. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, we were kind of hoping that because of La Nina developing in the Pacific, that we'd have a later start to their wet season. Well, if these showers come in next week, that kind of puts that off. And unfortunately would be good for producers there and bad for us here that are holding on to a bunch of corn and soybeans this year. So we'll have to see how that works out, something to very much pay attention to, and we'll have to see what kind of impact that has going forward for their planting season there.
John, final thoughts, anything else you're watching here at home or around the world this week?
Well, you know, everything's really kind of winding down here over the U.S., really the Northern Hemisphere, honestly. I mean, there are some other things going on, but it mainly impacts wheat with some good showers across Europe and not so good showers across the Black Sea. But, you know, I guess, you know, we've had a pretty good start to the year this year. We ended up with some poor conditions for a lot of folks there in August and now into September. So it'll be interesting, honestly. I'm looking forward to the end of the week when WASDE comes out to see if they made some significant changes to any of those numbers. And they'll have some reason to do so, I think. So we'll just have to see how much.
Folks can go to DTNPF.com for more weather information. DTN meteorologist John Baranek, always good to hear from you, sir. Thanks for joining us again this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jesse.
Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the latest meat demand monitor news, the latest results from the MDM with Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University. That's coming up next, right here on AOA.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. But even the toughest seasons can take a toll. If you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or just not yourself, I want you to know you're not alone. Talk to someone you trust, call a neighbor, reach out to a professional. Your mental health matters for you, your family, and your farm or ranch. It's okay to ask for help. Brought to you by Farm and Ranch Media, standing strong with rural America.
China's exports rose.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk up 2 to $16.91, November up 10 to $16.95, December up 6 to $17.21, January milk up 3 at $17.23. Meanwhile, live cattle markets were mostly higher, with the exception of the nearby month on some technical selling. Feeder cattle mostly higher, short covering, and also continued strong demand in the countryside supported all of the feeder cattle contracts. Hog markets lower in the nearby months due to prices reaching resistance levels, and that led the trade to lead to some profit taking in the nearbys. October live cattle down 17 cents to $235.80. September feeder cattle up $1.12 to $360.95. October hogs down 87 cents to $95.15. Meanwhile, at the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly higher. Some support from outside markets. Also, still some continued concerns about the southern rust and also some areas of frost from earlier in the weekend that could adversely affect the soybean crop, all helping to support the grains on the day. September corn up 4 to 403. New crop up 3 and 3 quarters to 421 and 3 quarters. September beans up 7 to 1013 and a half. New crop up 6 and 3 quarters to 1033 and 3 quarters. September wheat up 4 and a half to 505 and a half. December up 4 and a half to 523 and 3 quarters.
At AdMed Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as we move into the fall months and get past Labor Day, typically I always hear a lot about how summer grilling demand and more seasonally we'll see things trend down a little bit. And then we get to the holidays and, you know, everyone starts buying turkeys and hams and things like that for their Thanksgiving and Christmas meals. But what are we seeing in terms of some of these numbers as we track them through the Meat Demand Monitor? Well, let's talk about this and look at the August data. It's put together by the folks at Kansas State University. Joining us now, Glenn Tonsor with K-State. And Glenn, great to have you back with us here on the program. Hope all is well.
Oh, happy to be on, and happy new school year to most of our listeners.
And I know as well, you shared with me, I know the MDM, of course, for folks who maybe don't remember, funded in part by the beef checkoff, the pork checkoff, and it sounds like your work has been noted, and we're going to be continuing the MDM for a little while here, Glenn.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jesse. As for our listeners, this is a project that's based at K-State, but it is funded with beef and pork checkoff funding. Been that way from the start. We initiated efforts in 2019, and the data collection and rollout's been going since February 2020. Quick shout out to your predecessor, Mike Pearson, helped with this, and now, of course, yourself. The outreach and, you know, dissemination effort, like you and I do every month, is a key part of that. And I'm happy to report that the beef checkoff funding decisions were made last week, and, you know, our partnership and others were certainly recognized in that. So thank you. And we are positioned to have three more years of this project. So hopefully more of the same for your listeners if they benefit from this. And I hope I'm able to keep bringing some overall good meat demand information to them as well.
Well, we certainly hope so. And I think the value in tracking this, it's super, super beneficial because it helps us try and stay on top of the trends and what is happening. And I know that in general, you know, I kind of led in with seasonally, we start to see some of that, you know, grilling demand and more decline as we get into September. But the month of August sounded like it was a pretty good month for meat demand, Glenn.
Yeah, it was. So within the Meat Demand Monitor, we monitor separately the retail, so grocery store for at home, as well as food service, and specifically the dinner meal away from home. And in both cases, for both those domestic market channels, 7 of the 8 protein categories we track, we had higher demand numbers in August compared to July. That's great. You know, across the board, there's 2 beef products, 2 pork products, chicken breast. I mean, several examples of positive numbers compared to July. And it was not just one market channel. Your listeners that hear us each month probably know I've been concerned about foot traffic at restaurants for the better part of 2025. And I don't think we're out of the woods there by any means. But the August numbers here give us some reason for optimism that maybe even that channel is getting a little bit better.
And that's something that we have hit on a lot here over the last several months, Glenn, is how are things looking at retail and at restaurants, food service, in terms of, you know, the condition of the economy? And that's, I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. That's going to continue to be kind of a backdrop to a lot of these numbers and a lot of the prices that we're seeing, right, Glenn?
Yeah, I fully expect it will. And, you know, Jesse, you made the comment about seasonality, and there's definitely seasonal patterns, but August is an odd month in the sense that, you know, kids go back to school for the most part in this country at some point in August. Quite a few families are doing their mad rush to get their summer vacation in kind of before that. And it is still warm enough. We're doing a lot of grilling in a good chunk of the country, right? So there's a lot of mixed seasonality there. I think it's very possible that that food service bump was sort of driven by families hitting the road, getting those vacations in. And kind of by definition, if you're not at home, you're not eating at home, right, in that period. I'm anxious to see what September looks like given that. But some reason for optimism in the August numbers.
Well, we're going to keep our eyes on some of that, and we'll see what the September numbers look like and see if there's any big changes or not. I do want to ask you a little bit about taste, freshness, price, and safety, and this is going to tie into the ad hoc questioning you guys had this month that we'll get to in a minute. But just a refresher for folks, I know those 4 categories are very important pieces that show up pretty much every month, it seems, in the MDM, right?
Yeah, so every base, you know, as a reminder, everything we're talking about is on our Ag Manager website, and there's a figure that appears at the bottom of page 1 of every month's base report, and it's called protein values. And that's what you're alluding to here, Jesse, is we ask these over 3,000 U.S. residents every month, of this list of 12 items, and you mentioned the top 4, taste, freshness, safety, and price, Of those 12, which are the four most important and which are the four least important when you're making a protein purchasing decision? And I'm reminding us that that's how the question's asked, because you can't tell me all 12 are most important. It's sort of a forced rank, kind of tell me your relative importance exercise. So for example, you can't tell me that health, appearance, nutrition, price, safety, taste, environmental impact are all equally important. This question doesn't let you do that. What we find on balance is exactly what you said, is taste and freshness, even more narrowly, lead the decision for the typical person. These other things matter for subsets of the public, but they're kind of niche market opportunities rather than core driving decisions. And that's really important. You know, quick shout out for both beef and pork here for a moment. Beef, it's what's for dinner, hinges on a taste argument for, you know, dinner meal. Pork's newest campaign, Taste What Pork Can Do For You, has taste in it, right? It's not by accident those two major proteins in our country, and they support this project, are recognizing the importance of taste, and the MDM's protein values is definitely in line with that.
We're talking with Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University, looking at the latest meat demand monitor data. And as Glenn mentioned, it's all available online at agmanager.info. And Glenn, I know the ad hoc questioning this month in the MDM tied in with those factors of taste and freshness, et cetera. A lot of this, you can break it down. You guys do a great job of this by generations. And I know there's some key differences here, key generational differences. Talk to us about what you saw with this month's ad hoc questioning.
Yeah, quick reminder, Jesse, probably most of our listeners are more likely to be in the baby boomer or Gen X bracket, less likely to be millennial or even younger. But the buying power and the composition of our country is, of course, shifting towards those younger more every day. So this is important from a broader demand perspective, not just as a like who's producing it perspective, would be my quick reminder. But that said, what you'll find at the bottom of this month's base report is a breakdown on those protein values by those three main generations. And the two main points I would share is, one, the relative order, so taste and freshness being the most important, applies no matter which generation. So taste is still, quote unquote, more important than environmental impact for the typical person, whether we're talking to a millennial or a baby boomer, would be point number one. But point number two would be is when you dive in a little deeper and get more nuanced, the relative rank, so not the order, but like the gap between these, changes by generation. And to paraphrase, younger generations do put a higher weight on things like environmental impact, animal welfare, use of hormones and antibiotics, relative to taste and freshness. Conversely, the baby boomer generation, which is the older one we're tracking, puts a much higher weight, relatively speaking, on taste and freshness. So the order matters, taste is carrying the day, but sort of those niche market opportunities for production practice claims tend to be much more leaning towards the younger generation is what I would highlight.
Anything else from this month's base report that stood out to you or anything else you would hit on here this month, Glenn?
It's nice to have a positive report to highlight. We hit the punchlines of that. You and I have talked a lot about the macro stuff that we alluded to a minute ago. You know, I didn't put it in this report to kind of mix it up, but the base, you know, how your household financial sentiment is, how things look compared to last year and so forth, is on par with the last couple months. I'll verbally interject that simply because I'd love to see that improve more, but the fact it's not further eroding is good because we continue to have a lot of broader news of uncertainty about interest rates and inflation and so forth. And at least so far, we don't see that further deteriorating that measure in the MDM.
Got a couple minutes here. Something that I was thinking about as well as I was looking through the numbers, and I know you guys have done some special reports and work on this as well, the GLP-1 fad and what that has done for meat consumption and meat demand. And, you know, when you brought up looking at generations and millennials and Gen Xers and more, anything big you've seen with that fad, as I know you guys have, again, done some special reports on this here as of late, Glenn?
Yeah, I would politely nudge us to not call it a fad because we don't know if it is or not. I mean, we're in the middle of it and it may turn out to be one. But I would argue the GLP-1 is just part of a broader protein is in. Meat protein is having a moment. That's the phrase I've used a lot here in 2025. Yeah. And GLP-1s are certainly a component of that. But there's a lot of folks, particularly in that like 25 to 45 year range, that are extra focused on their personal health and see protein as an intentional part of that, whether they're on a GLP-1 or not. I'm reminded of that because I think this pro-protein environment is deeper than just the GLP-1. I think there is something to it. I'm not trying to argue with you there, but I think it's actually broader. So even if that turns out to be a fad, maybe the broader protein thing is the point of that. For those who want more on that, Justin Bina is a faculty member at Arizona State, did his PhD here, and has done a lot on this topic specifically. We're talking about with the MDM data and other data sets. Lots of deep dives there. You can cross-link from our Ag Manager website or email me or Justin to get more. But to put a bow on it, I'd say GLP-1 has been supportive, but the protein having a moment push in 2025 is actually bigger.
Anything else, Glenn? I appreciate the insight and thoughts on that. Anything final you would share as we look at all the data this month?
No, as those of you that are football fans like me, you know, let's hedge against some of the seasonality and keep meat on the grill while we're tailgating the next few months.
I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more, whether it be a steak or pork chops or brats or hot dogs or chicken or whatever.
How about two of each, Jesse?
I can get down with that. Two of each sounds right up my alley. Always appreciate the conversation. AgManager.info for the latest data from the Meat Demand Monitor. Glenn Tonsor with Kansas State University. Good to talk with you again, Glenn. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Coming up next, it is fly-in week for members of farmers unions from across the country. We're going to talk about that and get an update with the president of the South Dakota Farmers Union, Doug Somke. He'll join us next right here on AOA Agriculture of America.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get 2 unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without auto pay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Just a reminder, if you're feeling low, you're not alone. Life can get tough and we all need a hand sometimes. Don't be afraid to talk to someone, even if it's just to get things off your chest. You have to take care of yourself so you can take care of business. Remember, there's no shame in asking for help. You've got people who care about you. Reach out if you need to and check in on those you care about too. We're all in this together. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
On the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discuss the important relationship between corn and poultry with Connie Fisher from the Kansas Corn Growers Association and Shelby Watson with the USA Poultry and Ag Export Council.
The poultry industry is such a big user of corn. You know, sometimes as a cattle producer in Kansas, I get a lot of questions about why is NCGA and Kansas Corn partnering with USAPEC? But, you know, the industry itself uses about 2.2 billion bushels of corn a year. And so it's just natural that NCGA today, and USA Peak and states like Kansas and Kansas Corn are partners with them.
Considering we represent several of our feathered friends, the poultry industry as a whole, we definitely have a very, very important relationship, and I think a lot of strategy is needed in order for us to align, and we are just grateful for the buy-in from corn growers. You know, everybody wins here.
Learn more from the National Corn Growers Association at ncga.com.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
Hello, I'm Kate Levy. When I was just 10 years old, I lost my father, Joe, in the 9/11 attacks at the World Trade Center. He was a lieutenant in the New York City Fire Department. For 9/11 this year, now a National Day of Service, I'll be doing what my dad loved to do, helping others in need. Please join me by doing your own good deed that day. Visit 911day.org to learn more.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. As we continue here today, we are working to try and get connected with Doug Somke, the president of the South Dakota Farmers Union. He is in Washington, D.C. for Farmers Union Fly-In Week as members from across South Dakota, really across the country, are in Washington, D.C. this week for National Farmers Union's D.C. Fly-In. So we're going to try and get connected with him and have a conversation and a quick update about what is happening there on Capitol Hill. So while we do that, take a look at a couple news notes. California lawmakers last week, they voted to allow the sale of a higher ethanol gasoline blend that could help bring down fuel prices in the largest U.S. auto market. The sale of E15, a blend containing 15% ethanol, would be allowed immediately once the bill is signed by Governor Gavin Newsom. California had been the only U.S. state that did not allow sales of the fuel. The move likely will benefit biofuel producers and corn farmers as it will expand the market for their products to the most populous U.S. state. Now, California State Senate passed the bill, AB 30, in a unanimous 39-0 vote. The measure passed the state assembly in June. Now, California has been grappling with how to rein in skyrocketing pump prices while maintaining its ambitious environmental goals. California consumers cannot wait any longer, according to California Senator Laura Richardson. Now, again, big news here, getting E15 sales allowed in California. But now the question is going to be, can we get year-round E15 legislation passed on a national level on Capitol Hill? That's something we've heard more and more about, that it could happen later this year. We still, of course, got to get a farm bill done and much more. So plenty of things to really take a look at here and see if we can get them passed on Capitol Hill. And again, I know that's many of the things that South Dakota Farmers Union and National Farmers Union members are talking about this week on Capitol Hill. Take a look at other news. And I know, again, I'm hearing a lot of talk about just the struggle for a lot of U.S. producers with the cost price squeeze, high input costs, low commodity prices amid the trade and tariff war and the tariff policy from President Trump's administration. And I know hundreds of struggling Arkansas farmers pleading with the federal government to provide emergency funding amid a farm economy crisis. Almost everything that go wrong for Arkansas farmers went wrong this year, as a dismal global market and plunging commodity prices mean there's not a lot of hope of breaking even, even as input costs soar because of inflation and tariffs on top of bad weather in the state earlier in the year. Derek Hagwood, a farmer from Independence in Jackson County, said that after a horrible year last year where most farmers in Arkansas lost money, this year is going to be worse, quote unquote. And I know that they had a recent meeting in Northeast Arkansas talking about this and trying to pass along the message to lawmakers that we have a pretty big issue on our hands here in terms of this farm economy. I talked last week with members of the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association, North Dakota Soybean Council, about the issues with basis levels for beans and more in the Northern Plains, as a lot of the soybean traffic typically goes on rail to the Pacific Northwest. That market virtually non-existent because China's not in the picture. And so you're just hearing more and more of these stories from around the country of farmers who are feeling the brunt of what is going on here. And so we're going to continue to watch things closely and keep an eye on what is happening in terms of the farm economy. I know that's one thing that members of the Farmers Union are talking about this week. Joining us now, Doug Somke, president of the South Dakota Farmers Union. Doug, get us up to speed. I know it's a busy week there on Capitol Hill with the D.C. fly-in.
Yeah, hey, hope I can hang on here. I'm in USDA's building right now, and the reception isn't best, and they don't let me stay in one place very long, so I'll see how long I can be where I'm at. We're meeting with the USDA undersecretaries this morning, and I'll tell you, reception isn't very good with the information they're sharing with us. I mean, we just got done visiting with the undersecretary of FSA. He explained about the disaster payments, you know, how quickly that got them out, and we responded with, but we only got 35% of those payments, and when are we going to get the others? And mum was the word. I do have some good news. We had Dr. Joe Outlaw, the ag economist from at Texas A&M, do a study for us on our program, I'm Set. And he agreed with us that what is happening today with the farm economy, the farm program, is not working. We need to do something different. And so coming from him, who's been around, you know, farm bills for the last 43 years, that's big. I mean, he's probably considered almost the godfather of farm bills. Everyone goes to him for advice on what we should do next. And for Joe to say it's not working, we need something different, is huge. And he did give praise to our program that, you know, it might not be the silver bullet, but it is an answer. And I don't know anybody else out there that has any better answers than what we're offering today. So that's huge. That was a big thing to hear from him. You know, he did say that we're going to probably have to retire some acres. We do that with our program. We do it on an annual basis. We don't do it like we do with a CRP or anything like that. With the long-term contracts, we that farmers do it every year as they see fit for their operation. In return, they get a little higher guarantee for their price. So it makes it a little easier for them to make their you know, cost of production levels. So this is our biggest problem today. You know, we spent a lot of money through our commodity groups, checkoff money, to build markets across the world for every entity that we have in farming. My farm pays a lot in checkoffs every year, and we're, you know, proud to do that. But with one big giant hammer, this administration decided to knock all that effort in the head. And we'll see what happens going forward. But we're in deep trouble right now. There's a lot of problems across the country, not just in South Dakota.
Doug, hopefully you have a good week and have some very important conversations. When you get back home to South Dakota, let's get you back on the show, and you can give us a debrief, and we'll talk more about it. We'll let you go, though. We're out of time. Doug Somke, South Dakota Farmers Union. Thanks for joining us, Doug. We're on time on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
My neighbor invited me to a Wounded Warrior Project event.
I didn't know what to expect, but it felt like everyone understood me. We got each other. So I got more involved. I joined support groups with other women warriors, and it helped me realize a new purpose in my life.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his family.
When I asked Scott Lucky if his last name had anything to do with his success in the trucking industry, he laughed and said, "Well, Mike, I guess you could say I've always been lucky." But when I asked him how he and his family grew Lucky Distribution Services into the company it is today, he didn't talk about luck at all. "We work hard," he said. "We keep a close eye on the bottom line, and we treat our people the right way." In other words, Scott Lucky makes his own luck, which is precisely why he switched to Pure Talk Business. "Last month, I paid the big guys $740 for 12 lines," he told me. "This month, I paid Pure Talk $420 for the exact same service." Thousands of businesses all over the country are saving real money by switching to America's most dependable 5G network, and luck has nothing to do with it. Just dial #250 and say micro. That's #250 micro to switch to a wireless company that works as hard as you do. Pure Talk.
Advertise your business here, where word of mouth reaches more people than ever. Local radio. We're Real Country. 1430 AM stereo. WRDN.